the six goals and whatnot. So even if you take Chris Leibringer out of that, would be right there. So very talented group, fun group to work with, and they can really impact a game, not only offensively but defensively as well.
I don't. The next goal was Thomas Beretta's goal, his second of the season from Gavin Gould. Great goal there. We've got a lot of goals to cover, so I want to go to what I perceive as the most important goal of this game. After a dominating second period, 14-1 shots, we don't score until we get in that last 35 seconds on that shorthanded play by Reed Sturles.
Well, we had a real good period. I thought Friday we were ready to play. Had a pretty good start to the game. Obviously got the two-goal lead, and then, like you say, we just couldn't expand upon that. And that's the dangerous part about teams like Huntsville. If they can hang around, if they can keep it within a shot or two, that's our game plan. So yeah, as you walk through that second period with all the opportunities we had, and we're only ahead 2-0, and the next goal is going to be huge. And fortunately for us, we had to, well, not fortunately, but we had to kill a penalty near the end of the period, which really put you, back up against the wall. Excuse me. And then Reed Sturles obviously comes through for us.
And the Huskies able to bounce it out. Shorthanded opportunity with Neville. Neville will send it to the front, and a score! What a play to Sturles, who knocked it out of midair! On the feed from Mike Neville, and a huge goal for Michigan Tech with just 35 seconds left to go in the period, 3-0.
Well, that makes it 3-0, and now you're going into the third period with up by three. Completely changes the complexion of the game at that point.
Well, it really does, and we needed that goal, obviously, as the game wears on. But real good effort by Mike Neville and Reed Sturles on the penalty killing. And I've had the question earlier, like, why isn't Reed Sturles on your power play and yada, yada, yada. And part of the reason is situations like this. You know, you get in games and Mike and Reed kill so many penalties. They do so well out that we always like to start a penalty, killing a penalty with them, and usually come back to them. So they get a lot of ice time. And you have to understand everybody's or each player's value to the team and what they can add. And then their value to our penalty killing, which is, you know, top five in the country, is huge. And Mike did a great job on the play. We showed our players some video of how their defensemen play the two-on-one, and Mike made a real nice play, patient. We had a number of two-on-ones, and we went in and just shot them. And here Neves gets the defenseman, and he freezes the goalie, makes a great pass over to Reed, and Reed just got to tap it in the net on his backhand, which, you know, it was a great play and huge goal.
It was in the air, though, correct?
I'm not sure if it was off the ice or a little bit. Maybe
I thought it was way up, okay. And then Reed said he thinks it was just a couple inches off of the ground.
Yeah,
the ice.
It wasn't much of it was, but
because he sailed it in there pretty good. I mean, it was,
Mike did. Yeah. Well, he had to get the pass up over the Alabama's player's stick. So as we would call it, what do you call that? Saucer pass. Saucer pass, spin pass, foot pass, whatever. So, but it was a big goal. You know, late in the period. They're on the power play, and you talk about taking wind out of the sails. That was big for us there.
It was. Gavin Gould gets a power play goal at the 6:58 mark of the third and makes it 4-0. I thought, okay, well, there it is. The game's over. Well, it wasn't. Tyler Paulson comes at the 7:19 mark, less than a minute later, to score the first goal of the game for the Chargers.
As the Chargers bring it across the line, shot the goal by the Chargers. Pete Redmond, I don't know if that deflected in front or not. And the Huskies give one up right after they score a power play goal.
We are exactly 3 miles away from the ice surface when we were broadcasting that game. So, Coach, what exactly did happen on that goal?
Yeah, they just came in on a really nothing of a rush. They had a player coming down on the board side, and he just sort of threw a shot towards the net. We had a defender there, and then Mark Ock was in front of the net, and he just tried to, you know, bat it out of the air or whatever and tipped it top shelf right over Angus. So, he's better off. They had a player there too. He's better off just turning, taking the player, let Angus take that shot. And it was just a weak wrist shot from the boards, and nothing would have happened. But you know, he's trying to make the right play there, and it obviously caught his stick and went top shelf and gave them a life and gave them some momentum that we really didn't want to give them.
And then the momentum kept going as they scored again. Jordan Larson taps in after a nice save by Angus.
Looking for a little outlet, sends it over around, wraps it around to the sidewall. Shot from the point, big save, and they score! Saved by Redmond and tapped in the net by Larson, and the Huskies sloppy inside their zone. Turns into a great play by the Chargers, and we've got out of game now. 4-2 is still 5:20 left to go.
And I think they had a couple of good chances right before that, too, if I was remember.
I think after that. I don't know before. But, yeah, they had a chance to get it within one, that's for sure. But we had possession of the puck there. It was just a like you say, you said on the radio, sloppy in our own zone. Sloppy, just breakout play, just casual. And we had talked, you know, before the period how we wanted to play and some things we needed to do. And we just got away from that. You know, we just had no semblance of how we wanted to play in the third period, which was disappointing. And I think that led into Saturday night a little bit because now, you know, you give the team a little bit of life and saying, hey, maybe we can play with these guys. Maybe we can hang with these guys. And obviously, you don't want to give a team any life at all or any spark. And our goal was to play in their zone in the third period, really try to wear them down for the Saturday game. But we didn't accomplish that.
Reed Sturrows, though, puts the game away at the 18:41 mark with an empty net, shorthanded goal, his second shorty of the game.
Power play for the Chargers. They have the extra attacker out there, and here's an empty net chance for Sturrows. Scores! Reed Sturrows steals it at center ice and buries it in the empty net. And that'll put it away for the Huskies, 5-2 with a minute 19 left to go in the third.
Well, we had our resident researcher do a little work. A three is the most goals ever by an NCAA Division I player shorthanded in one game.
In a game, yeah.
In a game. And it was done against the Huskies back in 1998, right, actually, as part of our trivia question the next night. But Reed had two, and it was nice to see him get rewarded. Even though that, I mean, that's a hard work. That's a well-deserved empty net goal right there.
Well, it was. We did a real good job. Didn't let them get into our zone. We, you know, won the faceoff, got it down the ice, and got out in the neutral zone. And Mike Neville did a real good job putting some pressure on their player. And he thought he had a lane there to throw the puck across the ice, and Reed was sort of hiding in the weeds, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And when that pass
came,
that pass came across, he just jumped up on it and got it and made no mistake. So good for Reed. You know, he played hard, played well. As did Mike Neville. I mean, they were solid contributors for on Friday night. And, you know, it's interesting when you look at the scoring, different guys stepping up and different guys scoring. You know, we had Gavin Gould obviously get a big goal in that game.
And he had two assists.
Yeah, two assists, played well. Tom Beretta gets a real nice goal that Gavin did a nice play, just intercepted a pass, made a quick outlet pass to Tom, and Tom took a real good shot and beat the goalie. So it's good to see some other guys contributing other than maybe your so-called leading scorers who, you know, they'll get going. And, you know, I like it because we have some depth.
Umbretta's goal that we didn't play, but Umbretta's goal, did you have a good look at that from the ice as far, because they did review that as far as, I believe they were looking at whether it was offside or not.
Right, they wanted a coach's challenge on that. They thought a meet, but it wasn't even close.
No.
So, no. So interesting they would review that, but the coach does have the opportunity to challenge. You get a challenge, and if you lose the challenge, you lose the one timeout you get.
All right. Well, that's the wrap-up of that Friday night game. 5-2, the Huskies win it. 41-17 are the shots. Michigan Tech 1-for-4 on the power play. They did have 10 power play shots on goal. Not too shabby. And a great job again on the kill. 0-for-4, UAH was on the power play. They only mustered one shot on Angus Redmond on their four power play chances.
Yeah, solid game. You know, when you look at in all phases of our game, you know, whether it's goaltending, whether it's special teams, you know, getting the lead, getting everybody involved. I thought we did a real nice job. You know, you'd like to play the third period over again, maybe play it a little bit cleaner, a little bit tighter, as we did get outscored in the third period. But I think sometimes, we didn't get outscored because of the empty net goal, but you have a tendency to take your foot off the gas. We scored late, and I think our guys just went, oh,
right,
okay, because we had to work so hard all game, Dirk. I mean, I don't think, you know, sometimes they don't really understand, and you know, what we had to do and how hard we had to work in that game for every inch of the ice we got. So, you know, credit for our guys to, you know, having a good solid game and after making a long trip down there.
All right, we'll take a break. Be back with more of the Mel Pearson Show. We'll talk about Saturday night's exciting game and exciting finish when we come back and get your questions in. DJ@themix93.com. That's DJ@themix93.com. And the Mel Pearson Show continuing right after this on Mix 93.
Coca-Cola is dedicating radio time to unsung heroes. This one goes out to the volunteer snowplowers. While Old Man Winter is dishing out snow, you're dishing out generosity. At the crack of dawn, you fire up the snowplow and hit every school, hospital, strip mall, and office park within 20 miles, and you do it with a smile. You deserve a delicious, refreshing, ice-cold Coke in return. Share a Coke with your hero. Coca-Cola. Taste the feeling.
Stop in at the Library Restaurant and Brew Pub for Sushi Tuesday from 4 till 11. Their fish is flown in overnight from the world-famous Honolulu Fish Company in Hawaii, featuring the highest quality and freshest sashimi-grade fish available worldwide. Sushi restaurants all over the globe buy from the Honolulu Fish Company. Now the Library Restaurant and Brew Pub get the same fish you would get in eateries in Chicago, New York, and L.A. Stop in for Sushi Tuesdays at the Library in